You have your Bibles or you can follow along. I want you to hear these words from the Gospel of John. And particularly, I want you to see the context of where the disciples and what's happening around them and their frame of mind. Because it goes very well with today's message, opening doors. It's more than a knock-knock joke. Hear these words. A week later, Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is great to be with you this morning and to be able to give opportunity, and thank you, Denny, for allowing me to share from God's word this day with all of you. I told, Denny asked, "Well, how am I doing?" I said, "I'm a little nervous, you know, I got sweaty palms and everything. This is my first time preaching, not preaching, but preaching to you all." But I trust, as I've already been told, you have been praying for me, and I certainly need it, but you've been praying, and the Lord will bless us and take from my mouth the words and touch your heart to his honor and praise. I've entitled this sermon, "Opening Doors, It's More Than a Knock-Knock Joke." So I thought that we ought to start with a knock-knock joke. So join me. Knock, knock. I will. I wish I would have remembered this joke. No. Here's it. Knock, knock. Cow. No, cows moo, owls hoo. Anyway, let's move on. You know, our passage in, there are many doors in this church. We've got pictures of them, and some of you might be in these photos of the doors in the church, and Denny, did I understand there were over 200 doors inside the church? Over 200 doors inside the church. I remember as a child when my dad was a preacher and I would take the bulletin and I would just like color in these O's or the A's, you know, to kind of pass the time of the sermon. You can count doors if you would like here. But stay with me, as it were. Maybe you see yourself or someone you know in these doors. And I believe that none of you are Jesus. So all of you have had to walk, open a door and walk through it this morning to get here. Is that safe to say? None of you just kind of appeared as he did to the disciples, as it were. And our vision of the church is opening doors with Christ, with one another, and with our neighbors. And this is what I want to talk about today, is how do we open doors? How do we approach closed doors, as it were? See, this passage of scripture that was written was not about the closed door that was there. It was said, and a couple times it says, "These are written that you may believe." And I hope that this is what the sermon is about, is that Denny and I preach to you and share with you so that you, along with ourselves, may believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, there are famous famous paintings of Jesus. One that's standing at the door knocking. You have one here. We have one here out in the lobby area of Jesus standing at the door knocking. But did you ever see one of Jesus standing behind a battering ram? No. And there's a purpose for that. Jesus comes to each one of us, and many of us hopefully are very open and inviting to him coming into the presence of our lives. But through this study, you know, Lee Strobel, he was not really open to Jesus being in his life. And yet Jesus did not come like a battering ram, battering down the door of Lee's life. He came in trying as an invited guest. And that's one of the things we need to remember, and I hope you think about that, is that Jesus will not batter down closed doors. He will not step beyond the bounds of who you are as a person. But there is no closed door that he will not open or cannot open as he seeks to draw you close to him and you and he close to you. These are written that you may believe. Now, there are some passages of scripture that talk about people indoors. And one is Luke chapter 12, verse 36. It says, be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Wouldn't that be what we want to be like as disciples of Jesus Christ? We want to be there waiting. You know, we have four grandchildren, two that live down in Carlisle and two that live up north of Scranton. And when we go to visit our Scranton grandchildren, we'll pull up the lane and we see these heads right at the windows. And they quick duck because they're going to hide from Papa and Mimi. And but they're looking. They're waiting. We hear their mom, our daughter, say to them, I'm so glad you were here, because they kept asking, when are they going to get here? When are they going to get here? Isn't that what we should be like with Jesus? Jesus, when are you going to get here? I'm just waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to come my way. Now, there's another passage of scripture in Acts chapter 14, verse 27. It says, when they arrived, they called the church together and they related all that God had done with them, sharing what God was doing and how he had opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. Have you ever prayed to have a door of faith opened for you or for your loved ones? Another passage of scripture is Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Jesus stands at the doors of our lives knocking, just waiting for us to open them up so that he can come in. But the question I have for you is this: why do we lock doors? Or I guess it's, don't raise your hand because I don't know you, but just give a little flick. How many of you don't lock your doors at home? Let me put it this way. How many of you do lock your doors at home? Lock your car doors oftentimes. We lock all kinds of doors, don't we? At Grace Church, where I preached prior to this, there in Lemoyne, we had some incidents where people broke into the church. And so not only did we begin locking the outer doors, but we began locking the interior doors as well. We live in that society. And weren't the disciples, if we wanted to ask the question, why did the disciples lock the doors? Why were they behind shut doors? It was because of fear in their lives. Now, we lock doors because of privacy. We lock doors because of security. And today I want to talk about what if doors are closed. Let me just step aside and step into the story of this week. It was tragic what happened out in Las Vegas. In some ways, as I prayed about that and as I tried to wrap my mind around what happened there, it seemed to me that it was like doors were closed in the lives of many people. In the very act of those who have lost their life, their door to their future was closed. Some of them were in relationship with celebrating 20 years of marriage. There were those there who were there because they were going, they enjoyed country music and they just loved this festival. But their doors of their lives and their loved ones were closed. How do you make sense of that? You ask the question, where is God at a time like this? Why isn't he opening doors like this? Well, you know, in the face of evil in this world, it is my belief and understanding that God was there. He was there with the 50, 60-year-old man who saw what was happening and saw these young people there, and he threw his body across that young gal so that he would take the bullet instead of her. There was God's presence in the lives of the first responders who, instead of running away from the violence, ran towards. There was God in working in the lives of those who commandeered a pickup truck and then had the injured placed on the truck and took it to the hospital. And as they took it to the hospital, they didn't just stay there. They went back and they got more persons. And they made numerous trips back and forth, irregardless of their own safety, but in order to help others. God was there. In the prayers of those whose lives were leaving them, in the couples who were separated, said, "You have family, you go." God is there in our hands, in our feet, and in our lives and how we respond to this. But I want to share with you some other ways, because, you know, there are examples of closed doors in the scripture. The first one that I lift up to you, Adam and Eve. The door to the Garden of Eden was closed to them, was it not? In fact, there was a guard put out that said that they would not be able to return there again. There was a closed door in the life of Moses. Remember, he was going there to the promised land. He had carried those people out of Egypt through the Red Sea, through the wilderness. 40 years they got to the point of being able to look out onto the promised land, and the door was closed to his life and entering that promised land. There was a door closed to David, wasn't there? When David was building the temple. He wanted to build the temple. He had the resources to build the temple. He had the plans to build the temple. But God closed the door for him. And Paul had that closed door in the thorn in the flesh. Doesn't it say that he prayed three times? He said, Lord, if possible, let this thorn be taken from me. But for whatever reason, and I certainly don't know all of the reasons why, God did not take that thorn from him. What about you? When you face closed doors, what do you do? Where do you go? Who do you talk to? Let me share with you four things that may be helpful as we look at closed doors. These four imperatives, I call them, are we remember, we believe, we make space, and we are thankful. We remember, we believe, we make space, and we are thankful. When we remember it, when the doors are closed, we must start by remembering whose we are and who we are. Let me say that again. When the doors of our lives are closed, we must start by remembering whose we are and who we are. Let me give you examples. Remembering how we are, of whose we are, there's a scripture in Isaiah 43:1. It says, I have summoned you by name. Other translations say, I have called you by name. Have you ever been in a crowd? Kind of like the crowd over at the farm show. We took our grandchildren, two of them anyway, and Rowan was only 2 years old, and we went up to the John Deere tractor booth, as it were, there. And Mary and Beth, our daughter, went inside the store. And so Rowan and I were looking at the John Deere tractors in the shelves there. And I got interested in one. So I bought this little John Deere tractor about this size and to put on a window mantle, just because I like John Deere tractors. In the time that I was paying, I said, Rowan wanted to go, and I said, go to your mom and your grandmother. And so I saw him go around, and he was walking right towards them, and I thought that they had his eye, and so I proceeded to pay for that John Deere tractor. As I was paying for it, I looked up, and I saw my wife not far away, and she said, where's Rowan? I said, he's with you. She said, no, he's not. I said, yes, he is. She said, no, he's not. And by that time, fear gripped us. And we started looking around and couldn't find him. He was nowhere to be found immediately. I said, you stay here. I went and I found the first uniformed person that I could find, which happened to be the Pennsylvania State Game Commission stand right next door. And I went there and we took pictures with our cell phones that day when he was on tractors and stuff. So I said, here's a picture of my grandson. He's missing. We need your help. Well, what's his name? His name is Rowan. They needed to know his name so that when they called forth to him, they could find him and he would reply. God comes to us and he says, I have summoned you by name. We're not a stranger to God. Some of us try to hide things from God, but it's not, you know, we're only fooling ourselves. But isn't it comforting to know that God knows us by name and he calls us by our name? In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says this, you were bought at a price. How many of you like bargains? How many of you like sales? How many of you never buy anything unless it's on sale? What would you say if I told you that we were never on sale? And that God bought us no matter how much we cost. Jesus was willing to pay the supreme price. It just didn't matter. He wanted us, and so he bought us. In Psalm 139, which I love, it says, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. to know whose we are. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you." I hope that that is a verse that has come to your attention in the last couple days through a letter, right? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." We can know whose we are, and it will help us to remember when we face closed doors. See, once you realize whose you are, you can better understand, you get a better understanding of who you are. You remember these identity-forming truths in Scripture. You remember that you are dearly loved. You are dearly loved. What a message is to be taken and put forth in today's society, that we are loved. I would hope that somehow in this society of bullying, that we would be able to be the ones, not bullying, but we would be able to counter that message and to let people know that they are dearly loved. Not just loved a little bit, but they are dearly loved. Or in John 15, it says, "You are chosen." Playing games as a child, you know, you would pick up games and you would choose sides. How many of you were the last ones chosen? Or you wondered, and you really weren't chosen. They just said, "Here, you take him who's left over, and you take him who's left over." Not a very good feeling it is to be that person. But with God, it says, we are chosen. You are forgiven. What a message. You are forgiven. We believe. Believing means going. We remember and we believe. We believe, remembering, that it goes beyond memorizing scriptures. It's allowing the truths of the scripture to sink into our hearts. I believe that the Pharisees were great scripture memorizers. They had the Bible down pat. They could repeat it to you word for word, jot for jot, and tittle for tittle. They had it down. They would be the masters at Bible quiz time if they had Bible quiz time back then. But you know what they missed out? They missed out on the spirit of the scripture. See, believing takes us beyond just knowing the facts. Believing takes us beyond, as Lee Strobel had, it takes us beyond him knowing just the evidence and having it there. He needed to make a decision. A decision of belief in Jesus Christ. And the third thing we do is we make space. We have cluttered lives. Not just cluttered homes, but cluttered lives. And in order for us to grow, in order for us to respond to closed doors, we need to unclutter our lives. And sometimes that happens by solitude. Sometimes it happens by prayer. Sometimes by scripture. Sometimes by fellowship with one another. We are not lone ranger saints. We are not lonesome disciples. We are called to gather together, to fellowship with one another. And we will never know the fullness of a relationship with Jesus Christ until we have that fullness of relationship with one another. Remember, opening doors with Christ, opening doors with one another, opening doors with our neighbors. Jesus in Mark 6, verse 30 says this. He invites us to come away. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Why is it that when I retired July 1st, and I hadn't even started working here, that it seemed like I became busier than I was when I was working full time? That my wife had this to-do list that lengthened itself. I knew it existed, but I didn't know all that was on that to-do list, you know? Sometimes it's hard, even being, quote, retired, to find a quiet time And yet I believe that that's one of the opportunities, one of the doors that God opens up to us when we can step aside from our career, when we can have time not to become tired again, but to become able, having opportunity to meet with our Lord in quiet places. In Ephesians 1:17, it says this: we are reminded we can know Him better. No matter how long you have walked with the Lord, no matter how long, how many years ago it has been that you gave your heart and your life to Him, there are still opportunities to know Him better. And the last thing to respond to closed doors, remembering, believing, making space, and that is to be thankful. If all doors are closed around you, continue to show gratitude to the one who loves you most, your Heavenly Father. You can do this. Start a gratitude journal, a journal where you write down what you are thankful for each day. A thankfulness list, not just a to-do list, but a thankfulness list. What are you to be thankful for each day? A special time when you can thank God for hearing even the cry of your heart. Even when you don't feel thankful, even when you are exposed and the life just comes to you in such a heavy way, understanding to be thankful that God hears your cry, that God does not forsake you, but He walks with you through that valley of the shadow of death, that He walks with you at times of not understanding, when life just doesn't seem to make sense, to be thankful that God is there. You remember that story? That story about the man who died and went to heaven. And as he went to heaven, he was ushered into his place, his abode, his house. And as he walked through this house, he saw these pictures on the wall. And they weren't like the pictures that we have that are static and still. No, this one picture was moving there, and it was of the beach. And he could feel the breeze of the ocean blowing in. He could smell the salt air as it came out from them. He could see the seagulls and hear them as they flew by. And the Lord said, come and walk with me. And so they entered that picture and they walked along the beach, and he saw behind him the two footprints in the sand and things that were happening in his life, scenes from his life. And he came to a place where the rocks jutted out into the ocean and the waves were crashing against those rocks, and one set of footprints disappeared. And it was at the worst time of his life. And all he could think of is, Lord, why did you leave me here? Why did you leave me when I needed you most? And Jesus said, oh, my son, I didn't leave you. But when you couldn't walk your own, I picked you up and I carried you through. And sometimes Jesus will carry us through the doors of our lives that are presented to us. Even then, we can be thankful. So I would share with you to remember, to believe, to make space, and to be grateful when you're faced with closed doors. I can't, George, where are you? Anyway, Lord, I can't open this door. Anyway. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for every closed door. I know that you can be trusted with open doors and closed doors. Guide me to the doors you will open. May I walk with confidence in you and the path you have set before me. In Jesus' name, amen.